Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm going to try to get my shirt. And this is one of those weird shirts where it has like a, I don't even know what this thing is supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be stylish, but it just feels like it just hangs there like a goober. So, y'all, welcome. Come on in. This is Urges 2.0. So let me explain what's happening for all of our newbies. As y'all know, we got lots of newbies here, which is awesome. We're so glad to have you. What we want to do is we want to make sure that you are listening to your No BS first. So the Wednesday Q&A is where I teach something sometimes, and then I go into some Q&A around the topic. It is optional stuff. There is nothing that's going to be said today that if you miss it live or you don't listen to the recording right now, that somehow you're behind or something's going wrong. So if you are a No BS woman and you are listening to the words coming out of my mouth right now, number one, we always want you to make a 24-hour plan before you attend calls and before you listen to your videos. This is what I call one of the foundational habits. Charles Duhigg wrote a really good book around habits, and he called it a keystone habit. I think the four basics are your foundational habits that set you up for life and set you up for the like losing weight. And it just sets you up for so many amazing things. So before you listen to videos, before you take in more content and stuff, make sure that you are doing what I'm teaching you, which means don't listen to a call and don't do something unless you've made a 24-hour plan. A lot of you, I catch you listening to the calls like it's a religion, like you have to do that first. It's like, no, you need that plan each day where you've spent a little bit of time with yourself figuring out what food you want to eat today. Not what you have to eat, but what you want to eat today. Figuring out what is going to give me energy. What's going to work with today's schedule. There's no perfect plan that's going to like be a cookie cutter across the board. Your life is fluid, which means your 24-hour plan is also fluid. So once you listen and once you write the plan, that's like one of those foundational habits that gets you geared towards using it in other areas of your life. You start finding that if you have success planning ahead of time how to best show up for yourself with food, you may start even using that habit like, well, if it works there, I wonder what would happen if I start planning more of my day. If I start writing down my, like, what will I do today that I want to do that fits with today's life, that's free of expectations, that feels very doable. This is why it's a foundational habit. And then if you are listening to No BS and you are doing all the things and you do not feel overwhelmed, you are free to stay on this call. But if you are sitting around right now, not being a grown-ass woman, sitting and thinking there's too much, how am I ever going to keep up? I had to make time for this call. That's a no. I invite you to leave the call right now and go push play on a video, make your 24-hour plan, and then the rest of the day, ask yourself, am I hungry and have I had enough? You do those things, everything's going to be fine. And then once you get some momentum going, and once you see that keeping it simple makes it work, then you can come back to videos like this if you want to. You can jump in wherever we're at. All right, let's see. Let's do this. We are going to talk. I'm going to go through Urges 2.0. Today, what we're doing is we're going to understand our urges. I have a couple of other things I want to talk about. I've got a post that got posted inside the main Facebook group that I want to touch on at the end, or I'll weave it in. And there's a new concept that I want to just explain. And I want to start with that before we get into understanding urges, okay? One of the things is this morning, as always, I was on Marco Polo and checking in with my accountability partner and best friend, Jane. So every day I talk to Jane and I listen to Jane on all the things going on in her life. She listens to me on all the things that goes on in my life, and we talk back and forth. Sometimes we highlight stuff to each other. Sometimes we're just so much in our own shit. We're just like, you got to coach yourself, bitch. You know what I'm doing? I got to like talk about my crap. So I had unloaded. I had done my, like, here's how I normally do it. I get on. I tell her all the bitch fests I have, of which my brain is offering of the day. Like, I'm like, you'll never believe. And like, I just talk like a normal person. I just lay it out there as my habit brain is thinking about the world. And I think this is one of the reasons why I don't have as many food urges as you guys do, because I get out of my brain the crap. I don't let it sit in my brain and fester. Because this is the thing. When you get it out of your head, your brain does a couple of things. Number one, it thinks you've done something with your worries, your anxieties, and your pressures. It automatically gets relief just from that. It slows the roll on feeling like if you ignore it, you eat over it, you don't deal with it. This is why your brain will keep worrying. This is why you'll find yourself not able to stop thinking about it. You will find yourself always coming back and ruminating because your brain is like, we haven't dealt with this. I'm still upset. I'm still thinking all my bullshit. You've done nothing to help me but eat so far. So I'm bringing it back to the surface. Would you like to eat? Or would you like to do something with me now? So I always get on and I do the bitch first. And I don't coach myself. And I don't think that I shouldn't think that way. And I don't do those things. I just say it like I think it. Then I break it down. And I say, like, all right, here's what's really happening. Here's what I know is actually happening. Sometimes, even when I retell it on like what I think's really happening, what I'm doing is I'm separating out a lot of my opinions, my judgments, what I think it should be. Like, I'm separating out my personal opinion of what's going on from what is actually going on. Like, if I had to sum it up, this is it. And that gives me some relief because now I'm away from a lot of my inflammatory thoughts. I'm really just like looking at it more from, all right, here's what's really going on. If I was going to tell it boring and I wasn't going to get all worked up about it, here's the bottom line. Then what I do is I ask myself, so how do I want to think and feel about that? I already know how my knee-jerk reaction is. I already understand like what my initial interpretation is, but how do I want to think and feel about it? Sometimes I'll tell Jane, like, I just want to stay pissed. Like, I am not ready to change my mind. I just want to be in pissed. And I just remember all day long that when I get mad, it's because I know exactly why I'm mad. I'm thinking these things and that's okay. So I don't need to eat over that. I won't have as many urges. I won't be tapping on all of that. And then sometimes I realize I don't want to be thinking like that. There's something else I could tell myself and I offer it to me. And I will say, like, I think today what I want to do is I want to think this and I want to feel this way about it. That's a little better. And I could see myself having a much easier day if when I want to go to my worries, when I want to go to my stresses and my anxieties, if I just remember this, I will feel better. When it comes to understanding your urges, a lot of you, what you don't take into consideration is that specifically those afternoon and evening type urges are usually coming because of not allowing yourself to understand all those stories you tell yourself all day long, listening to what it is you're thinking about. You're just compounding a lot of the stress and anxiety. And when you have an open window where you actually can eat, your brain goes right for it because it wants to get rid of the stress and the anxiety. And unless you use your brain to talk it down and to give it something else to think, it does what it always knows. It's like, well, eating, that'll distract us. It's not ever going to make you feel better. It's never going to change those emotions and stuff. They will keep coming back. But what eating does do is stop your brain from thinking things. Because now it's thinking about food. That is all that ever happens when you eat. So don't fool yourself with stories of like, well, the food makes me happy. It's comforting me. It's doing all these things. It's like, no, all it's doing is shifting one thought to another one. And the thought that this tastes good, I'm eating, I'm stopping this urge, whatever that thought is the one creating the relief in the moment. But it's not solving the root cause. So it's good for you guys to be thinking about those root causes. So I was also, after I talked to Jane, she was leaving me a message. And she was talking about a binge she had recently. And she said, I noticed that I was, she's like, and I know what was going on. Like, I'm just, she's getting ready to move. And she's got a lot of overwhelm. Like, she's got so much to do, so much to do. And that's just Jane's thing. Like, her brain loves to always tell her she's way too busy for herself. So while she was binging, she had her phone out and she was scrolling Pinterest for best packing tips and stuff. I want you guys to start paying attention to what is it that you're doing while you're overeating. And this is not a solve for all of it, but I will tell you, if you will pay attention to what it is that you're actually doing while you're doing the act of eating, it may give you some insight onto why you feel you need to eat, why, like what it is that you really need. So like with Jane, one of the things I told her this morning, and I said, well, it would make sense that you would want to binge because, you know, you keep thinking that moving is stressful and you keep thinking that moving, you know, you've got so much to do and so little time and all this other stuff that anytime it's time to get into action, you're eating to shut down all the insecurity and all the anxiety around that, but you're eating so you can take the action. It's hard to take action when you're sitting there overwhelmed. Can't do it. It's hard to take action when you're stressed out. Can't do it. So eating shuts down the insecurity, and then it's like, I can eat and I can be doing this at the same time. So the real trick is for her to work on, like, is it that I don't have enough time, or is it like the moving day is coming? If I had to guess, I will actually get it all done. Like be honest. Like, she could be real honest with herself. I may not be able to do it exactly perfect, which is one of her things. She likes to do things perfect. She may not be able to do it on the time frame that she would think is optimal, but it will get done. The movers are coming, and her brain will figure out how to get it done. That we can believe. So, for all of you, pay attention to what it is that you do. A lot of you notice that when you're overeating, especially for those of you who suffer from the 4 to 5 o'clock window, this happens with a lot of teachers and stuff. It's like you come home, you miss the stress and the anxiety. Your body drops all of it out that had you working all day long. And then you sit down to eat. Or you stand in the pantry and you eat. So what you're doing is nothing. All you really needed was time to do nothing. But eating allows you to cover up the thoughts, I should be doing something. There's so much to do. Here's all the things you didn't get done today. So the real solve is not to eat so you can get a break. The real solve is to learn how to talk differently when your brain wants to offer up that you're lazy or that you should feel guilty or that you should be doing more. Your job is to now take that information that you gather in those moments and write about why that's not true. What is true? So I'm going to read this post and then we're going to start the actual presentation, but I want to read this post because I think all of this is important to talk to you guys about. It's 10:15 at night and I'm sitting here in remorse over the day. So she's at 10:15 and she's feeling remorseful. I posted about busting an urge earlier in the day, only to turn around and eat various amounts of food to the point I was sick this evening. I had the thought, I need to just stop worrying about losing weight because it's pretty damn obvious that I suck at it. I'll just eat whatever the hell I want and who gives a shit? So that is what her brain offers up. She puts, yeah, rough. That's not rough. That is the conversation that her brain offers to say, like, it's okay to eat for these reasons. You can't lose weight. You suck at it. And you don't even care. No one gives a shit. So what she needs to do is take this to a discovery worksheet. If you're brand new, you'll learn about discovery worksheets later. Don't freak out. You'll learn about this later. But what Michelle needs to do is take that information and say, all right, when my brain tells me all these things, that's just a signal for me to ask myself, oh, I'm supposed to figure out right now what's going on. That's the noise my brain creates because it just wants me to not think and feel something in this moment. And she knew she was feeling remorse. So in that moment, she gets to say, like, all right, what am I remorseful about? And be honest. Why am I feeling remorseful? It's because I'm thinking these things. But here's what really happened today. And that's okay. This is where we interject the compassion. And then you go to, so what do I want to think and feel about all these things that my brain thinks we need to eat? Because that's the only option we've ever given ourselves. We've never like said, so option one is eat. And option two is figure out what's going on. Because if all you're really wanting to do is rest, it's 10:15 at night, you're probably laying there and you're wanting to rest, but your brain is recounting the day and is telling stories that feel bad. So rather than eating to get away from it, what we want to do is say like, okay, all I'm wanting to do is rest. So now I need to put my brain to rest by examining what's really going on here. Give myself some peace. You don't have to rewrite the whole day. You don't have to make it all better. But even just sitting there going, it's no wonder I feel remorseful because I'm thinking these things. And that's okay. The only thing that really happened was this. That starts giving your brain rest from the story. It allows that habit brain to say what it needs to say. It allows you to start redefining things. And then you take this excuse and this justification. This is how you really start busting urges and understanding them. This is probably something her brain will always think when it's threatened. When it's threatened with pain, when it's threatened with emotion, it will probably always want to go to, you're never going to lose weight. For real. I mean, it's not true. It's just what your brain thinks. All of you. This idea that you can't lose weight is never accurate and true. I coached someone this morning on her thought of like, I can't lose weight. And I said, sure you can. Tell me why you haven't lost weight this year. And she's like, well, I've been drinking and like I've got overeats and stuff. I said, okay, so let's just get accurate. It's not that you can't lose weight. The real accurate summary is I know exactly what I need to work on. I need to figure out why I'm drinking and get on a drink plan. And I need to figure out why I'm overeating and do more 24-hour plans that are doable. Make sure I'm always doing my discovery worksheets. Like that's what has to happen. I can't lose weight is making it personal. There's not a soul in here that can't lose weight. A lot of you want to believe that because that feels better than having to not eat at night when you're feeling remorseful. It is always going to feel better to tell yourself you suck at losing weight and then finish that off with some ding-dongs than it is to be like, why do you feel remorseful? What is it that happened today that you're thinking that you shouldn't have done it? Self-examination is just harder. But that is the challenge you have to be willing to do. Stop wishing these urges to go away. They will not go away until you guys really start looking at your thoughts and how you think, your self-regard, where your habit brain wants to go, learning to redirect the traffic of your habit brain to thinking different things. This is how we bust urges. This is how we reduce them. They don't go away. Like, this is the most unrealistic expectation inside of no BS. I want the urges to go away, but I want to keep my shitty brain. Grant, I don't want to journal. I don't want to write down a 24-hour plan. I don't want to do discovery worksheets. Like, I don't want to do all that. Just tell me what to eat. Bitches, you have done those diets. You have been given food plans. You've been given points. You've been given calories. You've been given macro ranges. You didn't change your shitty mindset. That's why they didn't work. I don't care if you did lose weight. They didn't work if the weight didn't stay off. Because if you kept a shitty mindset, at some point your brain offered your crap back up to you. So we've got to go back and work on it. And if, like somebody said, discovery worksheets are a challenge for me, then watch the videos where I have walked people through the discovery worksheets. Stop saying, that's my challenge. How does that feel? Hard. If you have, like, if your thought about a discovery worksheet is that it's challenging for me, you'll never get curious about it. You'll always dread doing it. You'll always look at one and have a little anxiety. We don't run towards and do things that we have a shitty relationship with. That'd be like me saying, hey, you're going to go and you're going to marry this dude and you've watched him for years, beat women, never take a shower, and look like a grizzly bear. And I'd be like, well, why aren't you running over there? You have to think differently about all the things. So, like, when it comes to discovery worksheets, we cannot afford to sit around and think they're hard, they're challenging. You know what we need to think? I can learn. Where's them damn videos where Corinne's walk people through them? Where's the lessons on them? Have I filled out 30 discovery worksheets and gave them to ask coaches? If you have it, like, if you are finding, like, I just don't really understand the discovery worksheet. If after 30 of them that you have posted and asked coaches and they have coached you on them and you're still stuck, I'll put you on a call for everybody and I will do it with you. But don't tell me they're hard and challenging if you haven't challenged yourself to do them at a high level. Don't tell me how hard they are for you if you haven't doubled down, 10x your effort, and been willing to be surprised that you can learn it. If you have a shitty relationship with something, you will get a shitty result every single time. Every single time. So when it comes to urges, you cannot sit there and think, they're too hard. They control me. Think about the thoughts you have about urges. You have a shitty relationship, but you need to be telling yourself, I can unlearn these. They're not a big deal. Every person that's lost weight has had plenty of them. Every person that keeps their weight off still has plenty of them. So they must be something that's not as big a deal as I'm making it out to be. So how am I making this personal? What am I making urges mean about me? What am I making it say about my abilities and my capabilities? Because that's the stuff to unwind. That's the stuff to get rid of. And for all my newbies, right now, focus on the basics. In 2 weeks, you are going to get plenty of help on the thought work. That is what we will be doubling down on in 2 weeks. All right. So for my person who is sitting here who had the urges, number one, is today is a great day to figure out, why did I feel remorse? Like, fuck the other stuff first. Let's figure out, number one, why was I feeling remorseful? Was it true and legit and I need to go make amends? Or was I being hard on myself and unrealistic? And here are the things I probably could be thinking about myself, and I need to learn to have that opinion about myself throughout the day and when things happen. What this does is in the future, when similar situations comes up, your brain has now explored a new way to think so that in the moment when something happens and you start feeling remorseful, it after over time, it may be triggered to be like, but this could also be true. You've been writing about it in your journal. You've spent the last 3 or 4 months discussing this with yourself. Can we think that too? Can we try that on? That's how you change those thoughts. That's how you eventually get to a new place. The other part, now go through the discovery worksheet. Go through the excuse and the justification. So the one is, I just need to stop worrying about losing weight because it's obvious that I suck at it. This is an opportunity for you to go through and tell yourself, here's exactly why I don't suck. Here are the things I've done in the past week. Here are the things that I'm willing to learn. Here are the things I'm willing to think. Here are the things I'm willing to do. This is not someone who sucks at weight loss. You have to redefine that so that in the moment when you have an urge and your brain is going to want to offer this up for the next 3 to 4 months, when you've done it on paper enough and this thought comes up, now it comes up like a tornado siren of thought error coming in. Right now it's coming in. It's like, well, that's the fucking truth. And you're just like, hook, line, and sinker, reel me in. I believe it. I suck. So I'll go eat and prove how bad I suck. What we want to do is we want to get to where it's like a tornado siren. Thought error coming in. My brain's trying to tell me I suck, but I've been writing for so long over the last 3 to 4 months about why I don't suck at it. Like, it doesn't even really feel true in this moment. It just feels like something that I think like is a knee-jerk reaction. So if it's just a knee-jerk reaction, I don't have to jerk because of it. Same thing with the, I'll just eat whatever the hell I want because who gives a shit? You're right. This is exactly why we give a shit. Here are the reasons we care. Here are the things that we care most about in the world. Here are the reasons why I'm important, why I'm worthy, why all these little eating decisions matter. You got to write about that. Your brain transformation is going to happen on paper, y'all. It ain't going to happen because you're sitting around hoping, wishing, and praying and listening to a few videos. Work is on paper. So that when that shit comes up, guess what? Next time you're sitting there thinking, who gives a shit? Your brain will be like, I think we do. Bitch, you've been writing about it in your journal for like 2 months now. We give a shit. Here's why. You wrote this down last Monday. If you want that voice to come up, and this is the thing, for a while, you'll have to consciously think that. But eventually, you'll unconsciously start having the argument in your head. Unconsciously, your brain will want to say, we don't give a shit. And your unconscious brain will be like, well, yeah, we do because we keep writing about it. You want that tug and you want that pull between the two identities. We want the two identities going at it, talking to each other. Because eventually the identity that feels best is the one that will win. We always want to do what will feel the best. All right. So let's talk about understanding urges. Don't forget, for only our main members, this is all of you who've been around prior to August 4th. We are doing the Busting Urges Challenge inside. It's not a challenge, but we're doing Busting Urges inside of your Facebook group. All it means is, when you do your worksheets with this 2.0 self-paced course, when you have a win, we want you to use hashtag busting urges so that we can see them, we can coach, we can do all the things. And then what you also will do is everybody that posts a hashtag busting urges win or a worksheet or something this month, we're going to do a drawing and one of you are going to win a deep dive urges coaching call with one of the coaches. So we will assign you a coach and you'll do a long call where you can like ask all the questions, go through what you learned this month. That is for our members that belong before August 4th. Newbies, If you're here, awesome. You must be a deep dive diva. Otherwise, I just want you focused on no BS. We will have plenty of amazing things coming for you down the pike where you can win prizes and do all that stuff. Right now, the prize is getting started off like a boss. All right. So we are going to be on step three of our busting urges process. We have this for you. When I'm done, this keynote will be put inside the Urges 2.0 self-paced workshop for all of you. So you don't have to write all this down. So last week we did how to plan your self-talk and visualize your urges. We also did how to redirect the hard talk that comes up. This week we're going to talk about the now process. So an urge is just an automatic response to a common trigger or cue. That is all an urge is. It's where your brain gets triggered either by, it can be like an emotional hook. Here's one thing that we often do are emotional hooks. So emotional hooks are commonly anxiety because you've thought for a long time that food will calm you down. This is the thing I want to tell you about the emotional hooks. The food has never done anything. The only way for a feeling to change inside of your body is with your thought changing. So if you're feeling anxiety and you think food will calm me down and you have been thinking I can't handle this, then when you eat, you're no longer thinking I can't handle this. You're now eating food and your brain's calming down primarily because you're not thinking anxious thoughts anymore. You're like, fuck it. I'll deal with it later. This tastes so good. That is what's calming you. Every feeling is always generated by a thought. It's not generated by a piece of food. A lot of you, boredom is an emotional hook. So when you feel boredom, your brain is triggered to think food will be fun. It's exciting. It's what I do. Reward, for a lot of you, food is something that you deserve. So you have an emotional hook with, you know, you've had a long day. You come home. You see food. You feel like you need a reward. You feel entitled. The feeling is entitlement. And your brain will think, food is something I deserve. Then procrastination is another emotional hook. You feel procrastination or you want to procrastinate, then it's I'll use food to take a needed break. Because a needed break means I've either stressing myself out so much about something that I need to kick it down the road because I'm not mitigating my stress with breaking it down. What actually is going on here? What do I need to do? So we use food to distract from those thoughts. And then very often, because we're not thinking those thoughts, we start taking action. We're taking action because we've shut down the thoughts that slow us down. Food was a distraction. So emotional hooks are feelings that we feel that are preceded by a thought. And we have cues out in the world that start them. So we've trained ourselves to believe that food is a solution to a trigger or cue with our thoughts that are unchallenged. So it's just really important for all of you to realize this is normal. You do not need to feel bad about this. Most of us have never been taught, number one, to find the common cues and triggers in our life and be like, oh, when people say these things, when these things happen on these certain days, this type of environment, my automatic brain will always kick in and it will trigger certain thoughts and it will trigger certain feelings. And my job is to get better at understanding that because my brain only has one tool for it right now. The only tool that I have is eating. And now what I need to realize is that there are other tools I could be using. And I don't need to feel bad that I haven't ever had this tool. I don't need to feel ashamed that I've never learned this. I don't need to feel like it's wrong that I haven't known. I don't need to feel any badness about being here. I just need to understand that if I don't challenge some of the stories that I'm telling myself around food, about my abilities, about myself, then I am not going to have, if I don't challenge the stories, I will always get the same feelings. And if I get the same feelings, my brain will always want to go to the same emotional eating tool. My job is to challenge the stories so that my brain can understand how to think and feel a different way about a lot of the things I tell myself so that the cues and triggers start changing. So, some examples. Number one, food is fun. Is food fun? Or are you distracting from a lack of fun in your life? So a lot of us do this. We have this idea that the food is what's fun, when what we don't understand is that maybe we, like if our life revolves around food, guess what? We will keep eating until we challenge ourselves to figure out what's missing in my life. And am I going to be brave and courageous enough to go create it? That's always going to be the harder road. It's easier to sit there and think that food is fun. You can find plenty of evidence that food is fun, but you need to challenge yourself. Is the reason why I'm using food for fun right now because I want to be distracted from this idea that I don't challenge myself to go have fun in other ways. I'm not challenging myself to learn, like go develop the hobby, change the job, whatever it is that I'm afraid of. I heard something really interesting this morning. So many of us think that we need to be courageous, like for all of you who are self-doubting, don't know if you can lose weight, don't know if the 24-hour plan will work, worried if you're going to get hungry later, all this kind of stuff. And you drum up so much fear. You don't need to be brave all the time. It is okay to self-doubt, and it is okay to be afraid and stuff. You need about 20 seconds of bravery in small blips throughout the day. When you're worried the 24-hour plan won't work, you need about 20 seconds of bravery to write something down anyway. And then go to work the rest of the day to see if it's going to work. Be willing to be surprised because your brain will probably tell you it probably isn't going to work. You've never been able to lose weight before. But the real question is, are you willing to be surprised that this could be easier than you think? Are you even open to the idea that you could be more successful than you gave yourself credit for? That's the harder part. I know this sounds crazy. I'm like, you know what the hard part is? Thinking easier thoughts that feel better. And you're like, oh, footprint, that feels so hard. Like, let me stay in my crap. Let me keep telling myself I can't. Let me just start the day worrying that it won't work and then wonder why I never write shit down. I have to reverse engineer the thinking. So food comforts me. Does it? Or does it delay my worries, fears, and anxieties? Let's get accurate. Food's not comforting me. It's delaying these emotions. That's all it's doing. So at least when you start to think it's comforting me, tell the truth. Most of the time, we just need to start telling the truth a little while before we start doing something different. Food is how I relax. Really? Or does it prevent feelings of guilt and restlessness when you keep working when you really need a break? So you've got to try something new. You've got to do new things and you've got to practice it as many times as it takes until it works. And what the biggest problem I see most of you do is you quit prematurely. Try for a couple weeks, you try a few times, and then you wonder why 30 plus years of self-loathing, doubting yourself, worrying, isn't just unraveled. I've been binging for 30 years. I'm so confused as to why after 3 weeks and listening to some lessons and writing a few 24-hour plans, why is still a problem for me? This is hard to understand. No, it's not. What's hard to understand is that you're going to convince yourself that it should be happening faster. What's hard to understand is you're convincing yourself that it should unravel in a snap. No, you need to focus on, I don't quit till it's done. How about that? How many of you are actually willing to commit to not quitting on yourself until it's done. Those are the brave people. Those are the people who are truly all in. Most of us are committed to doing it as long as it will work. That's a whole different mindset. If your dreams and goals are important to you, you should be willing to work on them until you go to your grave. No short of that. That doesn't mean it takes until your grave to lose your weight, but it makes your brain think, like, I'm going to change my life. All of it. And I will keep working on it. And I will not accept defeat for myself. And I will not accept self-loathing that it's not working. Because when you commit for the long haul, then in the short-term moments, you start shutting down self-loathing. You start shutting down a lot of the bullshit that convinces you that quitting is better than sticking. So stop thinking that your urges are in the way of weight loss. Or if I overeat, I can't lose weight. That's some fucking bullshit. You must accept that urges are a part of weight loss. And that overeating and making mistakes are just part of the lifelong journey. You ain't Jesus. You ain't gonna be perfect. Get over it. Stop trying. Was never meant to be for you to be perfect. Was never meant to be for you to never have an urge, to never have a temptation. You're a human. We are designed to have urges and temptations. That's how we fucking keep the human race going. It is primal. And you wanting it to go away is bullshit. It's not helping you. So when you want it to go away, it's like, no, you know, I don't need it to go away. I need to quit making it a big fucking deal, like I'm some helpless maiden in distress. You are not. You're having an urge. Okay. You want to eat something because you feel bad or whatever. Okay. Take a breath. Each urge and mistake is your opportunity to learn. The learning is how you lose weight for good. Learning doesn't require willpower. Learning turns down the temperature of the urge itself. What is this urge trying to teach me? What is it trying to tell me? It's not trying to tell me I'm hopeless. It's not trying to tell me I suck. It's not trying to tell me I can't do it. It's trying to point me in the direction of what I need in this moment, or maybe what I need long term and what's missing in my life. And I should use that as fuel to go create it. So every urge has three options: eat, willpower, or process. Some of us just eat. We get an urge, we feel an urge, and we immediately give in. We have no pause. We have no thinking. That's like the where most of us start. I started that way. A lot of you are there now. If you believe, though, that urges are bad instead of something that you can learn to handle, your brain will strongly suggest every single time eating to avoid feeling bad that you have an urge. The second part is willpower. You feel an urge and you immediately start talking to yourself like an asshole. You feel the urge, you start arguing, you wish it away, and you talk in a really commanding and demanding way, kind of down to yourself. Shouldn't think this way, shouldn't be eating, this is ridiculous, you don't need to eat. Like, we talk terribly to ourselves. Every sentence sounds like, it was like, well, yeah, we don't need to be eating, Corinne, right? But if the sentences, when you think about them in and of themselves, and you think, well, it feels bad. Well, it feels punitive. Well, it feels stringent. That's never going to work long term. That's like saying, I'm trying to threaten you to lose weight. It's like telling your kids, hey, I'm going to threaten you over your homework every single day. And I can't understand why you don't have a good attitude about it. If you believe urges are hard, instead of a feeling that I can get used to over time, your brain will offer up thoughts that feel very hard. layering anxiety and restlessness over the urge itself. So I got an urge, I'm already like, won't date. Now I'm talking down to myself. Now I'm scared of shit. Now I got anxiety and stuff. I've got all that on top of just wanting to eat. The third and the option I want to teach you is how to process the urge. This is the key. You feel an urge and give yourself a pause and a choice. So we want to get better at knowing what we think. That is why we do discovery worksheets. That is why we do the things I teach you, why we make 24-hour plans, so we can get aware of what is it that we think and what is it that we feel that cue and trigger us to have urges. And then what we want to do is we want to learn, when I think these things, when I feel these things, when I know an urge is here, my first reaction is to pause and feel it. I think about it so I can give myself a choice as to what to do next. The other two just have you forcing or just reacting. And we want to move to choice-based decisions. So you feel the urge and you listen to your thoughts, dissecting what to keep in your thinking and what to redirect your brain into which it's thinking. If you believe urges are something you can get used to or learn to manage, your brain will notice the urge and you'll be able to use your reasoning brain to make a next best decision in that moment. So the more that you change your story around urges, the more you decondition the future urges, teaching your brain a new way to respond to them. So I want to give you some tips for experiencing an urge. The first one is the now process. This is in module 2, unit 8 of No BS. So for all of you who want to know how to do the now process, if you'll rewatch the lesson, module 2, unit 8 in No BS, it's going to take you through feeling a feeling. That is what the now process is. It stands for name what's going on, notice what's going on. Like, so you're going to notice the feeling. You just want to like notice I'm having an urge. Then you want to open yourself up to really want to feel this. Like, I want to figure out what is the physical response going in my body. And then you witness the physical response. So what the now process does is it helps your brain start understanding that you have thoughts about urges, and then you have actual physical responses around urges. Most of us, when you've done the now process several times with urges, the story you have gets debunked. Like, it'll last forever. It'll never go away. It's too hard for me. I can't stand this. I can't take this. When you actually understand what's physically going on, a lot of times it calms you down a lot because you realize I can physically handle that. So a lot of the story drops, a lot of the anxiety around the urge drops. It's just a conscious way of sitting through an urge. So I want you to remember some of the things that I want you to do when it comes to the now process is start off with a controlled environment first. Our urges, we talked about this last week, they're pretty predictable. You have cues, you have triggers, you have overeating windows, you have all kinds of things. So you want to make sure that when you're going to use the now process, that you do it during a time when you can really, like, it's the goal is to actually do it. So let's pretend that you all have an overeating window of 8 o'clock at night. And I believe our next call, I think it's in here. I'll tell you guys in a minute. We're going to have a call with one of the coaches. If Betsy, can you go to the calendar and look to see when that call is? I'm not sure if I wrote it down. We're going to have I think Betsy is actually the coach doing it, where she's going to walk you through in live time the now process as a whole group. Be a great call for all of you to attend. So it's Monday at 7 p.m. Central. So we're doing it during one of the most common overeating windows. So I would attend and come with an urge if that's you. So you want to start with a controlled environment. So pick I was coaching someone the other day. If you really want to work on urges, don't think you're going to do the now process every fucking time. Don't think you're going to do it like every time I have an urge. think like, all right, where are my most common windows? And what would be an easy day to do it? We're like, where my family won't be sitting there in the room with me. Or when can I do this where I can actually do the work? So you may say for the next month, I want to practice every Thursday night an urge. Let's say that one of your big urge windows is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I want to practice every Tuesday through the month of August. Practicing in just one controlled environment really helps you learn. There's no like, now that I know that Corinne says the now process, I have to do it every single time. That is not how it works. So do that. Pick a time and don't be all or nothing with it. The goal is to practice calming your brain down. So the now process works you through a walkthrough of a body scan so that you change the focus of your brain. Most of you, what you do is you don't change the focus of your brain. You let your brain run wild. Like, I just want to eat. I just want to eat. I wonder what's in there. Blah, 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 blah. We do all that. When you do the now process, it makes your brain stop thinking things like, I'll never get through this. I need something to relax and can't without food. This will last forever. I can do better tomorrow. It puts the focus on what's happening in your body. So your brain automatically calms down a lot of the chemicals that it's releasing. So every thought creates a feeling. And every feeling has a chemical compound. That chemical gets released through your bloodstream and it causes a physical response. The physical response is the urge. It is not the thoughts. So using the now process is a good way of teaching your brain, oh, an urge isn't what I think about. An urge is a physical response. So now is notice the feeling. Open yourself up to watch it go through your body and then witness it. Witnessing will happen if you will listen to Module 2, Unit 8. The witnessing is there, and I explain the now process. So just remind yourself when you're having urges that I'll never get through this is not true. All urges do end. They either end with food or they end with you practicing something different. I need something to relax and can't without food. Is it helping me? What else can I do to relax? And do I believe I'm worth it? This will last forever is a lie. And just the bullshit my brain says to get me to eat. I can do better tomorrow is a lie. I can do better right now. What's something easy I could do that's just a little bit better? All of this is on Urges 2.0. If you want these thoughts, we are giving you this presentation so you can have them. So when you want to witness an urge, part of the now process, set a timer for 5 minutes. Write down the thoughts that you hear. Ask yourself what you might need other than food. Use the now process. You can also use what's called circular breathing. Let's say that you can't do a full body scan. Circular breathing is where you are going to breathe in for 4 counts. Then you'll hold your breath for 2 counts. Then you will exhale for 6 counts. And you repeat that 5 times. It does 2 things. You're having to focus on the counting, so that's distracting your brain from what it's thinking about the urge. Then the oxygen is clearing out the chemicals. So some of you, you may want to do the now process 1 day a week. Get to good at witnessing it, understanding what your body goes through, not judging it, really starting to think like, oh, this is all that happens. Racing heart, flushed face, a little sweating. That's what an urge is. Then you start, maybe on Tuesdays, you're like, when I feel an urge, I always want to do circular breathing first before I eat, because I'm getting good at predicting my urges when my most predictable times are. And I will tell you, if you use them in the predictable times, guess what ends up happening? When they come on suddenly and they're cued or triggered for something you couldn't predict, if your body is responding in predictable times this way, what do you think it responds with in the unpredictable times? A newly formed habit. So look for success. Success comes in a lot of different ways when you are overcoming your urges. I still ate, but less than normal is success. I still ate, but I slowed down this time when it comes to urges. I still ate, I got some data, and I'll have a better chance tomorrow is success when it comes to learning, unlearning urges. I didn't beat myself up like usual. That is success when it comes to overcoming urges. I didn't argue with the urge as much. Guess what? That is success when it comes to dealing with urges. So here's the thing. Sometimes you're going to eat when you have urges anyway. That is okay. All of this is going to take a lot of practice and commitment. I just want you to ask yourself, am I willing? This is a good journal prompt. Am I willing to do these things that Corinne's teaching me? Why or why not? If it's a no, look at your thoughts and then ask yourself, are these thoughts worth not ending something that I keep saying I would love to end? Challenge them. This is not about a perfection moment. You will get better and you will learn more about yourself every single time you decide to consciously experience an urge. So here's a couple of questions and then we're going to get out of here. We already have some that's been submitted. Number one, I had an urge that felt like it lasted several hours. I thought they only last 90 seconds. They do. The chemicals in your body only last 90 seconds. But if you're not redirecting your mind, so each time your brain wants to go back to eating, like back to thinking about eating, you will have another set of chemicals. It's time to breathe again. In the beginning, sometimes it may feel like it lasts 2 to 3 hours because your brain just keeps wanting to go back to food as a solution. If you notice that, what's probably happening in this moment is you're not figuring out what you really need in the moment. So when you get through an urge, your brain goes back to whatever it was ruminating, stewing, worrying, remorsing, anything that it was like, whatever was going on, those thoughts, they come back. It's just like those thoughts come back after you eat. Those thoughts also come back after you sit through the urge. So the real solution when you have an urge that's like lasting a while is be like, what is it that I'm really like, what is it I'm really needing right now? My brain's trying to tell me something. Something must be bothering me or this urge wouldn't be coming back. So what is that? So figure that out. That is how you get it to not last longer. They do die down after a while, though. Sometimes you'll notice your brain will keep wanting to loop. That's okay. After you do this, like a couple weeks, your brain realizes you're not going to eat anymore. So it quits asking for food as much. If I know my urge window and what I always crave at that time, should I plan that food or plan to not eat it? For now, if you're brand new and you're new to all of this, plan the food that you would normally eat. And it's got to be all the food. Don't lie to yourself. Put it all on there. And when it's the urge comes, I want you to sit with it and I want you to look at it. So like if you normally eat a sleeve of Oreos and a bag of chips, you need to get out a sleeve of Oreos and a bag of chips. Don't keep going back for more. Don't sit on your eating chair and unconsciously get it all out. Sit down with it and say, all right, this is my overeating window. This is when I have my urges. Here's all the food I normally eat. I'm going to eat it consciously in a new way. It will be a completely different experience. Trust me. You can look up some of our planned binge calls that we've done. We'll put a couple of links in the show notes for this call. But watch those. Watch the planned binge calls so that you really understand what we're talking about. And if you're, guess what? If you get there and you're like, I don't want to eat all that food. That is the reason we make it conscious. You don't eat. You don't have to eat because it's on the plan. The point is to plan it, sit with it in a new way, with your new brain, and then decide. You may find yourself making better decisions. All right, that's it. You guys have a good one. Get out there, do your urge work, and I will talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.